exciting episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I am Bro Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer, and back in the saddle with me this week is Sydney Franklin, our growth and development reporter. How are you, Sydney?
I'm good, Bro. You know that's not my title, right?
What is your title?
Real estate enterprise, but I'm happy to change it.
Well, I mean, that's part of it. That's part
of it. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, I should know what your title is.
Okay.
But anyway, the unflappable Sydney Franklin is here because our special guest is following up on a conversation Sydney and I had a couple weeks ago when we were just simply talking about the idea, the prospect, the application to get funding for capping Fort Washington Way.
Yes, this is a crazy pipe dream come true, apparently.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about. So someone who was very close to the process was Brendan Call, the CEO of the Cincinnati Regional Chamber, who is our special guest today to tell us a little bit about how this this dream, this that has been a dream and for 20 years, a conversation in this community about what we can do to connect downtown to the riverfront. We've applied in the past for funds and failed. And all of a sudden, kind of out of nowhere, the news broke that $25 million of federal funding, a match program to start the project, had been approved. So Brendan will be in to talk all about that. But while we're talking about the banks, a very interesting story has popped up on your beat.
Yes,
no matter what we call your beat. Yeah.
Sure.
tell us about that before we bring in Brendan.
Okay, folks. So if you enjoy mini golf, putt-putt, that is going to be coming to the banks very soon. This week, the Cincinnati Planning Commission and soon thereafter, City Council will approve a temporary plan to install a mini golf course in the center of the banks, right in front of the Roebling Bridge, where the Sing the Queen City sign is going to be. So if you can picture golfing in front of the bridge and the Covington skyline, that's what's coming. And it's really meant to be something to activate the banks, a family-friendly way, as all this planning is going down to build out the rest of the banks, which, as you know, is kind of empty.
So, like, not a permanent...
No.
But, like, something just to keep people coming down.
Right.
In the midst of all this long-term development.
Yes. All and, right. Again, it's for families, or if you want to go on a date there, whatever you want to do.
Do you know who is funding it or who's...
You know, I probably do, but I unfortunately forgot.
That's okay. Well,
this is a city plan. I think the mayor announced this of all people.
So it's going before the Planning Commission.
Yes.
All right. Where I'm expecting no one will have any issues with it.
I'm pretty sure it's a done deal at this point.
It's rubber stamping.
Isn't that funny? It's
so
a cute little story.
Now, I got a question for you. When I kind of grew up in Cincinnati. I was 10 when my family moved here, and we would go putt-putt golfing. Now, there was an actual place called putt-putt golf.
So I've heard.
But no one really said mini golf. Even though there was like a brand putt-putt, people would just say putt-putt. Hey, we're going to go putt-putt golfing. Only when I moved away as an adult and I said putt-putt, and people were like, excuse me? And I had to, you know, like a little... golf course where you just putt on. They're like, oh, mini golf, miniature golf. So where you grew up, because you just dropped putt-putt out there like it was no big deal, like you used that term your whole life.
Yeah.
But is that something you had to learn when you moved to Cincinnati?
No, I'm okay. From Louisville. Like we
so
say
in
putt-putt.
Louisville, okay, so it's a it wasn't isolated in Cincinnati.
No, you know, I vacationed in Florida like everyone else, and we putt-putted there too, if
okay.
you will.
All right.
So I think
it's definitely a regional term.
Is it?
Putt-putt, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that might be a trademark, so I don't think there's going to be actual putt-putt at the banks.
I wonder, is it going to be themed, you know? Like when you...
You know what? I will find out Friday and let you guys know.
Okay.
This is just big news, if you will, because the banks is being redeveloped and Fort Washington Way is being capped. Anything to activate this part of downtown is going to be headline news.
All right. So before we bring Brendan in, just tee us up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is a give us the nuts and bolts of the project.
Yes.
Funding.
Okay. So Hamilton County, along with a number of different groups, applied for a federal grant from the Department of Transportation that's going to allow a 1.2-acre cap or deck to be built over Fort Washington Way. Now, this isn't the whole thing. It is between Vine and Walnut Streets, but the goal really is to build two full caps and then two half caps, so a really long civic space that basically covers the trenched highway underneath. So it'll become like a bit of a tunnel. This requires a $25 million federal match, or excuse me, local match in addition. So we will have to raise some additional funds to actually make this happen. But it does sound, compared to all the other times we've tried to do this, it's actually going to come to fruition.
And that's the interesting part of the story to me. Like, why now? It caught a lot of people by surprise. Yeah. I don't know if because we're just so used to talking about the caps and nothing ever happening, but to actually have a moment of progress like this pop up, how that happened. I'm very excited to talk to Brendan about kind of behind the scenes how this went down. So without further ado, let's bring in Brendan Call, the CEO of the Cincinnati Regional Chamber. Well, here we are, special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast, and as promised, to tell us the backstory of the suddenly moving forward project of the Fort Washington Way caps is Brendan Call, the CEO of the Chamber. And you are a five-timer now.
Five-timer. Where's my red jacket?
We need the red jackets. You know, we have the coffee mugs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Did you ever get a coffee mug?
I don't think I have a coffee mug.
I think
mug
there's
even.
One in that bag right
there
for
Jeff,
you.
I think Jeff, my competitor in all of this, Jeff Birding, who's been on this program, I think 2,712 times, is he has plenty of mugs.
I just heard from Jeff. Jeff's
really?
Wondering. Jeff's wondering if he's always pitching stories.
Yeah,
and,
I'm aware.
And his pitch is about a surging interest in football. European football,
yeah,
aka soccer,
because
from
of
the
World Cup, of
and,
course,
and how people can, you know, scratch that itch to be soccer fans right here in Cincinnati.
Well, they can go to FC matches anytime they want. It's a great experience there. I know they had a friendly the other night, which is awesome. And Jeff, you know, he's been a big supporter of this CAPS project from the very beginning, you know, dating back to his time on council. And he's like, he doesn't give up, and he is always working a new idea, always in the betterment of the city. So, if anybody should be on this program a lot, it's Jeff.
Well, he has been on a lot. We'll have him on again, but, we're very interested in the backstory here because I'll kind of set the stage. In the 60s, the construction of what was called at the time the Third Street Distributor happened, officially cutting off downtown Cincinnati from the riverfront. Okay.
Burl's going all Dan Hurley on us here.
I know. I was just fascinated by this because my awareness was in the late 90s, early 2000s, where they said, okay, we have to get, you know, a better solution in place to get, you know, to connect 75, 71, when people come off the highway and they're going to go east or west on 50. Because not only was it cutting off downtown from the riverfront, it was also at the time one of the most dangerous stretches of highway in Ohio in terms of accidents and collisions and everything like that. So the current Fort Washington Way that was started in the late 90s, finished early 2000s, is what we're looking at now. In fact, we're looking at it literally. Our studios overlook Fort Washington Way, which, by the way, there's not a sign that says Fort Washington Way. It's
right.
One
we'll
of those.
Fix that. We'll
it's
that.
One of those localisms, like you know, cross county highway.
The Ronald Reagan cross county.
Yes, right, the Reagan, but. Back then, part of the plan was, you know, to sink it, narrow it, sink it, and be able to build across it so you can restore the connection to downtown and the riverfront. And initially, we, you know, collective we, built a few roads over top of it,
yeah,
to drive over, to walk over. But there's still large expanses of openness where you can see right down into the highway trench. And
trench is such a good word to describe what this is.
It's a trench, yeah. Yeah. And we have been talking since then, so 25 years, about capping it for yeah. various purposes, maybe to build on it.
Yeah.
And it's always been a matter of funding.
Yeah.
And this is where you come in and others in town.
And many others in
town. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, kind of to the surprise of many, $25 million was secured.
$25 million federal build grant from the United States Department of Transportation. At the top, we should acknowledge Senator John Husted and Congressman Landsman and Senator Moreno and every other elected official, including going back to Rob Portman, who has been a big booster of this project for a long time, who sent letters, who talked about this project, who said it was an important priority. And so when that grant came through, it was in large part because our federal delegation knew the story, they knew the project, they were familiar with it. And it is... It's funny, this is going to be the starting moment for this project, but if you go back 30 years, this has been something that we've talked about, and it's been part of Cincinnati culture, just like the name Fort Washington, that we're one day going to cap this project. And it's so exciting to think that we are now on the cusp of being able to do this.
Is $25 million enough?
No.
So
$25 million is not enough, obviously. And to be clear, the $25 million, the application that the county, Phil Beck at the county, Morgan Sutter at the city of Cincinnati, and obviously county commissioners, President Dumas and Jeff Aluto, who's the administrator, and then Mayor Aftab Purval and city manager Cheryl Long have been all a part of this project. And we applied with them. And it was very clear that this project would require a local match. And there's a number of different sources outlined in the application that are possible. We can talk about that later if you'd like. But the point is you get the $25 million match. The plan was that first grant plus match is theoretically supposed to be enough to do one cap plus the planning of the entire project. Now, we all know how highway projects go and infrastructure projects are. So, of course, we'll have to, you know, really put the pedal to the metal to try and raise as much as you can. And my opinion is, why would we try to do just one cap when we have this really unique opportunity? The whole project all along has been essentially two full caps and then two halves. And so we should try to do as much of it as we possibly can right now, particularly at the time that there's other construction activity going on in our downtown. ODOT is like, they're awesome partners. And so District 8, the folks who are working on Brent Spence Bridge over at KYTC and ODOT, they've been interested in this project and great partners all along.
So that's one of my questions for down the road. But what were you going to say, Sydney?
I was just going to say for listeners, to be clear, the cap that is being funded with this initial grant is between Vine and Walnut Street,
yes.
which is like the dead center
yes.
of downtown / the banks.
Yes, it is. And it is, I would say it's the most high profile. Mm-hmm. It will be the most additive to our downtown space. And, you know, Burl, you were talking about how we're looking at this cap right now. What you would know if you were sitting here and we are 12 stories up off the ground, you can hear it. You can
yes.
hear the traffic. And I have been in almost every building along 3rd Street. And because this is essentially an open highway trench, it is loud. And so the other big thing that this cap does is it will create a space that is much more attractive and pleasant to be around in our downtown, which is really important. Right now, if you're on 3rd Street and you're walking over to the banks, it really feels like you're crossing a highway. And you
right.
are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are.
It's, right. It can be frightening for some people.
Yes, even though it's totally safe. There's
right.
big sidewalks and big
you
traffic.
You feel like exposed.
It feels like,
you know, there's
yes,
trucks flying underneath.
Right. This yeah. is going to be a whole transformation, and it's a final piece of downtown. I have to tell you, the quick version of this story is I started working for Charlie Lucan in September of 2000. And the day that I interviewed for him, he had just come down to cut a ribbon.
And for those not steeped in Cincinnati political history,
former mayor
oh Charlie
gosh.
Lucan.
He's going to be so mad that you had to say that.
Well,
former
I mean,
mayor Charlie Lucan.
I mean,
everybody knows Charlie still.
everybody should know Charlie.
Yes.
But, and you were his chief of staff.
I was not his chief of staff, but I did his legislation and media and everything, campaigns.
Seemed like
all
you
that
were.
Sort of stuff.
Like when the mayor wanted to dodge the reporters, he would send.
I generally answered that.
Yeah. He would send them to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he, my first day interviewing for him, remember, I'm 20 some years old, and he had just come from a ribbon cutting or some event at Fort Washington Way. And I remember that was like my small talk with him in my first interview. And then it became part of the canon that earlier that year, he had done all of this work to call Carl Lindner Jr. and John Barrett and George Schaefer at Fifth Third and Mike Brown from the Bengals, who all wrote checks to ensure that one day we could cap Fort Washington Way. They essentially helped fund, I think they're called pilings or foundations of the project. And so had we not done that back then, had Charlie and John Barrett and Carl Lindner not done that and said, hey, we're going to do something that we're never going to get credit for while we're in office, Charlie, then this project wouldn't even be conceived today or even thought of today.
Right. And so that's the thing is like this has been a dream for so many decades and we prepared for it.
Right.
And we've applied for federal funding four times.
Yes.
Why in the world did we actually get it this year? That's what's so crazy to me. I just woke up one day and we got it.
Yeah. It's not uncommon to have to do this with federal funding projects. This is kind of par for the course, is that you shape your application differently. And my colleague, Pete Metz, who has really been the expert in this, and I wish he was here to talk about this, if you wanted to get into arcane grant application data, you know, which is really scintillating podcast content. But the point of it is we did this a few different ways. The first time we applied for it, we applied for a planning grant for the whole project, and it was a small amount of money. And then I believe the order was, then we applied for the whole shooting match, a different grant, and we applied for $100 and some million to be able to do the entirety of the project. And I think that they were saying that was a little too much. This application was a little more of the Goldilocks approach, which is, you know, apply for planning plus one cap for the match, and that will get you started. And so we tried this a bunch of different ways, kept refining the application, kept building the coalition, kept talking to elected officials and telling the story about what this could do. And that's what great infrastructure projects do, I think, is that they capture the imagination of real people, both elected officials and people in a community. And they get a sense of like, oh, I know what this will look like. And if you go back and you look at the application, you can see that we really communicated this vision of this place, this civic space, this place to gather, this, you know, really economic growth. An economic growth stimulus for our downtown. And so that's really what this project should be.
So how does that work, the application process? My understanding, based on Sydney's reporting, the chamber's role really was to kind of pull everybody together and explain that.
Well, we've done this for a lot of things locally. And I want to be clear, like credit to the city and credit to the county and credit to so many partners, federal partners who believe this and people who envision this. But what we believe one of our roles is to help bring people together in service of the greater good for our community so that we're a growing, thriving region where everyone belongs. And so my colleague, Pete, who's been at this for 10 years, really that longevity of leadership at the chamber, he's worked on the Brent Spence Bridge projects. He worked on the SORTA campaign so that we could invest in infrastructure and grow our bus system in Cincinnati, and now gathering people together around this particular project. And so it was about just keeping everybody informed and connected and building towards this moment when we applied this time and were successful.
Now, when will we see construction begin, you think?
I don't have an answer for you on that because there's a lot of specifics that still have to come. Obviously, you have to find the match first. And the good news is Sydney was at the press conference last week. I mean, that was a great show of bipartisanship, of collaboration, and motivation to do this.
Right.
So it's pretty clear to me that they're going to, this is not going to be one of those the city and the county are aligned on this, and they're going to work together to be able to identify the sources. And you could tell they'd already been talking about
it. It's so public. Like, if it stalled because there's no money, I mean, that would be...
I think it would be embarrassing.
Egg on the face of so many people.
Yeah. So we're gonna keep the momentum. And look, that's what this is. This is a huge boost of momentum for downtowns. Like, downtowns all across the country, if you see it, they need things like this. It's just like a constant evolution and change, and, you know, make this a place where people want to come. And so that's what this project does. So yes, I think it's finding the funding. And then I think the most important piece for this project construction-wise is close coordination with ODOT, because there's so much going on in and around downtown with the bridges.
Which is kind of what I was leading up to with the question is, we are already seeing work and ramps being closed as part of the companion bridge for the Prince Bridge project. It could get a lot worse before it gets better if all of this construction is happening simultaneously. Is that a real possibility?
Well,
I know you're not a highway construction expert, but just the casual observer would say, man, we have a lot of cranes, a lot of construction happening, a lot of...
I know, it's awesome, isn't it?
It's exciting, but like... Sydney, who lives downtown, just did that.
I love it. You know, it's my job, but I also hate it.
Yeah. These were the most beautiful orange barrels that I had ever seen. When they started working on closing ramps for the Brent Spence Bridge, which we've worked on as an organization for 25 years, I was like, these orange barrels are beautiful.
You brought tears to your eyes.
Yes,
symbolize something
for
you.
And so, look, I think there's short-term changes in commutes will be part of this. Mm-hmm. Not just the CAPS project, but a part of the fact that they're going to build this companion bridge, which is...
Well, that's already started in terms of where you can exit.
Yes. Again, think of the Brent Spence Bridge not only as making it easier to get through our community, making it a more attractive place from an economic growth perspective, because you have so much of the nation's GDP going across that bridge. We've added now, thanks to the work of the city and the county, the chamber and others, 11 acres to the west of downtown as part of this particular project, which was not conceived before, in the original form of the project, and now Fort Washington Way. So in, you know, so many years, seven or so years, you have this completely transformed kind of urban core from an infrastructure perspective. And then, like, you know, big picture perspective, it's not all that hard to get around Cincinnati, Ohio. And, you know, people who have lived elsewhere, our traffic conditions are not, they're actually, if you look at our overall traffic conditions, they're an attraction point for us, because people can get here and get around our community really
easily. I completely agree. Coming from New York, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yes, trust it's me.
I mean, even coming from Nashville, which is a similarly sized metro economy, the traffic here is not generally a challenge. And I will say, all credit to ODOT. They have done a great job communicating about this. Your coverage, I know Patty Newberry's coverage in the Enquirer, she's all over this on a day-to-day basis. So there will be ample communication so that people can prepare and manage their way in and out of town.
Right. And Brill, just to add something to your question earlier about the timeline for this, you're right. The funding matters. Then we get started. We had reported per the application that the CAPS construction could begin by spring 2028. So that's a few years of construction on the bridge project.
Yeah.
It's not all going to hit at once, right? And the CAPS aren't going to take as long as the bridge project is going to take.
I don't think so. And, you know, some of the foundation work's been done. Yes, right. That's exactly right.
I know construction. Trust me.
So now, in the time remaining, there's two things I want to ask you. One, can you share, and I understand if you don't want to, how you found out about the application being approved?
Well, Senator Husted kind of alluded to this during his press conference that we had last week. The chamber does an annual trip to Washington, D.C. So executives from our member companies go to Washington. We had about 40 people this year, community leaders, civic leaders, members of the government, et cetera. And we meet with all of our elected officials. And so at the end of the comments from Senator Husted, I, you know, pop up and I say, you know, Senator, I just want to thank you so much. You've been working on this for a long time, and we appreciate that you've sent letters and made phone calls about it. And we're still really hopeful that we're going to get this project. And Senator Husted looks at me, and then he kind of looks around the room and he goes, well, we've got that. We put it through, or something to that effect.
Like, done deal.
And you know,
where have you been?
Then you kind of look around the room, and it was clear that the people that he was with, God love him, I have been a staff person for an elected official. I think he went a little further than they expected him to go. He clearly had knowledge and wasn't
got ahead of his skis.
So he then immediately kind of pulls it back. But I said, well, listen, if you're breaking news right here, let's give this man a round of applause. So he got his applause right there in that moment. And then we had essentially our fingers crossed to make sure it wasn't some sort of a miscommunication. And then last week or 10 days ago now, I was on a phone call actually with the mayor and a handful of other people working on some local city stuff. And my colleague, Emily Grader, who's just so well connected in Washington, D.C., she comes in front of my office, which is this big glass window, and she's on the phone and she's jumping up and down. And I knew exactly what that was. You know, there's not much else that would, get you to jump up and down on a random Friday afternoon. And so it was clear at that point that we were hearing the news. So it was, I mean, I got to tell you, Sydney and Burl, like, you don't get that kind of excitement over something like this. You know, like the Brent Spence Bridge was a slow drip. You know, you knew it was like, sure, it was an infrastructure bill. You kind of figured you were going to get it, that sort of thing. This was like, holy moly, we're going to do it finally. And so it was really exciting.
And I'm not like some passive observer of what's going on in our community. I mean, you know, it's an occupational hazard to be plugged in. And I was like, wait, what?
Yes. Same. Like,
what?
Yes. I was impressed.
Not on my bingo card for that.
Well, every time I talked about it, I was like, I had given a couple of, you know, speeches and things where I'd gone around town and I was talking about the fact that our application was in, and I didn't want to jinx it. I'm superstitious enough to know, you know, and so it was really great. And again, I got to start or end where I began, which was, you know, Senator Husted really worked this one, and Congressman Landsman sent a bunch of letters and made phone calls. So did Senator Moreno. And so that federal delegation helped, and their willingness to work with our local delegation, you know, that's an example of how this should go. That's how you should get things done.
And the vision, last before we let you go, because we know you're on a time constraint with us. And so thank you for coming in.
I'm thrilled to
first
be here.
And foremost, when it's all said and done, we're looking at a very public space, public community gathering, not necessarily new constructions.
Yeah, this is the application was for a public space and civic space. And so I think you have to kind of hew pretty close to what you applied for. But there will be, and Sydney's going to report about this and already has, particularly in her connections with Phil Beck at the county and the city as well, you know, there will be a process to, you know, kind of plan this out, what it looks like. The one piece about putting buildings on it that we learned 4 or 5 years ago when we did this visioning work about what it could be, really picking the ball back up again 4 or 5 years ago, was that if you build on it, you can't go that high. Mm-hmm. And if you were to essentially cover the entire caps with buildings, then you have to add parking there. So you essentially say, let's say you only get 3 or 4 stories. Now you got to use a big piece of it for parking. And then you create some real challenges with sewer and water and some other pieces like that. And so one of the aspects of this is create the civic space. And then as you look around 3rd Street and 2nd Street, there are still so many open spots of land or redevelopment opportunities that we believe, just like in Dallas, where there's a Clyde Warren Park where they've done this, where you'll be able to, it will stimulate additional development. There's this beautiful condo building right on Clyde Warren Park in Dallas. And when we met with the person who really shepherded that project down there, he said, this was not here before. They built this building because it was right here, because this space is in front of it. It became such more of an attractive part of the community.
We need more parkland downtown. We really do, especially for us working here at 3rd and Plum. I want green space.
Yeah,
so.
It's a little bit of a highway space down here, right?
Are you kidding? Yeah. It literally is. Yeah, exactly. I love seeing the, you know, Bengals field, but that's the most green I'm getting right now.
Yeah, you know, you go down to the river. We've got this great riverfront. And I think if you talk to, you know, again, I got the business community on this, Phil Castellini and the Bengals team, you know, Jeff Birding, John Barrett, all of them, the Lindners, have continued to be involved in this project. And I think they see, like, you know, the riverfront is something that our community is really proud of, the business community has really worked on. And so to be able to build this up this way and connect all of that will make the city even more attractive.
All right, Brendan, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Your red five-timers jacket is being tailored as we speak.
I'm going to go over to Bolero and have
Yeah, let's do that.
I bet Jim would find us some red jackets.
I bet he would.
Yes.
I have a little plug for Jim Elkis down at Bolero.
Yeah.
And Brendan, thank you for your time.
Thank you both so much.
So, Sydney, you're going to be busy with all of this stuff, but you are also, in addition to this being your beat, and you focus on a lot of development real estate, a lot of it tends to be focused downtown. You're also a downtown resident.
Sort of. People would say, no, she lives in Pendleton, but I live at the border of OTR and Pendleton.
Yeah. So you know, you're down here a lot. You're dealing with, you know, the construction and all of that more so than people that just drive down for, like, you know, to have dinner or a Reds game. But you had a nice experience at the Reds game, you were telling me.
I did. Folks, I took my 17-year-old niece to her first Reds game, baby's first Reds game. And it was Friday night. It was fireworks night. They won 2 home runs. Incredible. Beat the Cubs. It was a great experience. She was smiling the whole time. I was so, so happy. So it was great. But I wanted to share that as we were leaving, obviously, we have to cross Fort Washington Way to get back into downtown and walk up to Over the Rhine. And she had a question about, you know, the sunken highway. And I was like, Sky, let me tell you something. They're going to build a park on top of this. Can you believe it? And then there'll be so much space for us to walk. And she was like, wow, that's actually really cool. And I was like, yeah, that's my job to talk about this.
Well, that's really fun. And, you know, if you've gone to a Reds game or you've gone down to the banks, we've all had that. And you didn't drive there directly and
park
in the riverfront.
I would never.
Yes. you know, a lot of us walk from our building here on Plum Street. It is not pleasant to walk across that highway trench.
With so many people. And that's the thing, is not only doesn't it feel very safe, but it's just so crowded. And you have to make a decision, like, where am I going to go? Can I dodge a person? It's just tough. And so I wanted her to understand that this is going to change in the very near future. So when she comes back in a few years, it'll be a more chill experience, hopefully.
Well, hopefully. I mean, her first Reds game happened when she was 17. I hope it's not another 17 years. I hope you're,
I know,
you're building a...
That's not on me, though. That's on her parents. That's on her parents. She's from Louisville. It's not that far.
Well, and also, you know, the odds of attending a winning game this season are a little lower than they normally are. So you had sounds like a good night all around.
It was.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast, a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today, as usual, the one, the only Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
And finally, if you value local journalism and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, the home of The Enquirer, now is a great time. Just go to the website, Cincinnati.com, click on the subscribe button to see a special offer just for you.
Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.